The story of Saul's conversion. I love it. I love Saul's conversion because it's so powerful. It's such a powerful story. Because God saw Saul and he was like, "Wait, I want you." And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. He sees us and he says, "Oi, I want you." And he couldn't have made it like more dramatic, really. A bright light around Saul, and then he couldn't see for 3 days. Saul knew that he had to follow this God. But the reason he had to make it so dramatic is because Saul was convinced. He was absolutely convinced that he was doing the right thing. He was 100% sure. This is what God wants me to do. Jesus is not the Son of God. He deserved to die on that cross for everything that he said. He's blasphemous. He's against God. Saul was so convinced that he was right. And sometimes we can be convinced that we are right in a certain area. We can be convinced that we're doing the right thing. But actually what we're doing is what we think. It's a good idea. It's not a God idea. And when God spoke to Saul, what did Saul say? He said, "Who are you?" God spoke to Saul and he said, "Who are you?" Now Saul thought he was doing the right thing by God, but he didn't know who God was. How can he do the right thing by God if he doesn't know who he is? God speaks to Saul and he says, "Who are you?" Now sometimes we might not know God's voice. And when I call my sister, she's got a phone, obviously. Well, not obviously, some people don't have phones. My sister does. But she's got me saved in her phone as B, B-E-E, with a little heart, because she loves me. And when I call her, that comes up on her phone. She knows it's me, because that comes up on her phone. But I was driving, right, and I said, "Matt, can you call my sister? Because I want to ask her this question, so can you do that for me?" And so he was like, "Yeah, okay." He doesn't really like phone calls, so he was a bit nervous. So he got my phone, he called my sister. B, with a little heart, come up on my sister's phone. She expected to hear my voice. She went, "All right, babe, what's up?" And then Matt, with his deep voice, said, "I want you to do this." And she was like, "Oh, right, okay." And she was shocked because she didn't expect to hear Matt. Because she knew that wasn't me. She knew my voice. Mine and Matt's voice are quite different. But she knew it wasn't me. And why does she know it wasn't me? Because she knows me. She spends time with me. We have chats on a daily basis. So how are we expected to hear God's voice if we don't have chats with him on a daily basis? We need to know God's voice when he's talking to us. Ananias did. God came into a vision to Ananias. He said, "Ananias," and he went, "Yes, Lord." He didn't say, "Loser." He wasn't confused. He said, "Yes, Lord." Ananias knew God's voice. Now, what would Saul have done without Ananias? He saw in a vision a man named Ananias come, lay hands on him, and then the scales fell from his eyes. He saw that was the way he was going to get his sight back. So if Ananias didn't know God's voice, what would have happened to Saul? I don't know. But we don't have to think about that because that did happen. But Ananias knew God's voice. My first point to you today, church, let's know God's voice. Let's hear him. I feel like I'm doubly loud here. Is this still on? Let's hear him. Because sometimes we can have good ideas, really good ideas that we think are of God. Saul did. Saul had a really good idea. That he was like, "Yes, I'm doing this for God." You are all against you are all against God. Jesus is against God. You deserve to be put in prison. Right? So he came to Damascus with a letter. And that's the only really reason that we find that we see that he's coming to Damascus. We don't really see that he's going to Damascus for any other reason other than taking this letter that he got from the high priest to say that if he sees people worshipping the name of Jesus, he can put them into prison. He was convinced that was the right thing to do. When I left university, I was really convinced that the right thing for me to do was go travelling, right? And I wanted to go travelling. I wanted to go with like a Christian charity and do Christian work, like share God with like in third world countries. And I was so excited. And people would ask me after uni the first time, after uni, it's like, what are you going to do? I'm travelling. I didn't even pause. I didn't even think, oh, I don't know. No, I knew. I was travelling. I was going to get a job, save up money for 6 months, save all that money, and then invest that and go see the world. That's what I wanted to do. And I was like, yeah, this is a good idea. God, this is what I'm going to do. And then God went, I don't want you to. But it wasn't actually, well, it might be the rejection. But God didn't want me to get a job. God had another plan for me. God wanted me to volunteer, not get any money, volunteer at Youth for Christ, fall in love with youth work, and then come here and be the children and youth worker. And do you know what, guys? I love my life. I'm paid to tell children and young people about Jesus. That's flipping awesome. I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to do that. I love it. And I felt rejected through that as well. But actually, through me listening to God, even though I didn't want to, and doing kids' work, doing youth work, I started doing kids' club, and then met Matt, who I'm now going to marry. And that was all in God's hands. I had different plans. I was like, I want to see the world. I want to go to Africa. I want to go to India. I want to go to all lots of places. But God said, oh, no, I don't want you to do that. Saul had a letter, and he was coming to Damascus with a letter to say, I'm going to take these people into prison. And God went, no, I don't want you to do that. Sometimes our plans are not God's plans. And God needs to actually say, no, I don't want you to do that. But what we need to do is say, okay, yes, Lord, you're in my driving seat. Because I tell you what, church, when we allow God to be in our driving seat, amazing things happen. Things that we could never have anticipated. God moves in such a way, in a powerful way, when we put our hands off the driving wheel and we allow him to take charge. And he came to Saul in a powerful way and said, no, I've got another plan for your life. And what was that plan? He became Paul. He wrote half of the New Testament. The New Testament would be a lot shorter if Saul had still stayed Saul. He wrote lots of good stuff. Lots of letters. And I'm going to read a letter to you. Well, not the whole letter. I'm dyslexic, so we'd be here for a while. But I'm going to read a part of the letter to you. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, Paul, who was Saul, who was converted on the road to Damascus, who had a bright light, scales fell to his eyes, he saw the truth, and then he encouraged his brothers and sisters in Christ. And, okay, before I'm going to read that, sorry, I'm going to put a pin in that, I am going to read that, so look it up if you want. But before, when Saul was converted, when you saw heard the word of God changed his life. And do you know what happened? Saul spent days with the disciples. Days. It actually says, Saul spent days with the disciples, and then he got up to preach. He was like, right, I want to tell people about Jesus. He spent days, and then he got up, and he was like, yes, I want to announce that Jesus is Lord. He wasn't ashamed to show that he had changed his mind. He wasn't ashamed to say, I was wrong before. Jesus actually is Lord. Because in the verses after Saul's conversion, he goes to a church and he's proclaiming Jesus as Lord. And there's people in the church, then they're like looking at him and they're like, oh, I think I know that man. He hates Jesus. He hates all his followers. Why is he up there chatting about Jesus? What's going on? Saul was not embarrassed. Saul allowed people to know that he was wrong. Jesus is the one true Lord. And he shared that. And he wasn't ashamed of what he believes now. He wasn't ashamed to stand up and say, I was wrong. That's a hard thing. That's a really hard thing to do. Can you imagine if you've been so against God your whole life, then to stand up and say, oh, actually, no, Jesus is real. And to all your friends who know that you believe actually not that Jesus isn't the Son of God, that you don't do all that religious stuff, that you don't go to church on a Sunday, and then you change your life and you say, no, Jesus is real. I want to worship him. I want to go to church on a Sunday. I want to meet with these people who know Jesus. Because do you know what? When we actually give our lives to Christ, he takes away all our shame. He takes away the shame that we had before. So when Paul realized the truth, when Saul realized the truth, his shame was gone. His sin was wiped from him. And he wanted to share the word of God with those around him. And he writes in Romans 10, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Says it there. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So it doesn't matter what you did in your life before. It doesn't matter what things you thought before. You are not going to be put to shame when you trust in Jesus. That's the beauty. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's that easy. It's that easy. And Saul found that out. Saul knew that it was that easy. And Saul got such a kind of, he got such an excitement in his heart that he was like, I need to spread this word. Now, I have lots of non-Christian friends. I have lots of people in my family that aren't Christians that don't believe. And I don't want to be seen as a Bible basher, so I don't often shout out Jesus like I do here. I'm really energetic today, guys. I want to shout for Jesus today, guys, with you guys who love me. But with people who who don't know Jesus, they might not be as accepting. And so it's a little bit more scary. But Paul continues to write in Romans, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Now, I'm not saying preach up here on the platform, but I believe that actually what Paul was writing there was saying, guys, go out and tell your friends who don't believe, because how are they going to be with us in the kingdom of heaven if they don't hear the word of Christ? How can they hear it if we don't speak it? And how can we speak it if we're not sent? So that's going back to my original point of hearing God's voice. Because God tells us to go and make disciples. He doesn't say, believe, be baptized and chill out. That's not the Christian life, guys. That's not, I'm afraid, I'm soz. That's not what God tells us to do. God tells us to believe, be baptized and go. Proclaiming his word. That is truth. And when we go, we share his love with each and every single one of them. Because you know what I really love in Saul's conversion? It's Ananias. Like, I've read Saul's conversion quite a few times. I've spoken it, I've like taught the kids about it. And this time, in the last couple of weeks when I've been reading over what God wants me to bring to you guys today, Ananias was really like jumping out at me. He was like, hello, I'm the one you want to focus on. Because Ananias hears God's voice. Ananias knows God's voice. He says, yes, Lord. God tells him to go to a man who has been going around putting people who believe in Jesus in prison. Go to him, and I want you to pray for him. Ananias is a bit confused. He says, Lord, this man doesn't like you very much. Are you sure that's what you want me to do? And God says, go. He is my chosen man. Ananias puts so much faith in what he hears God tell him to do. And that's because he knows that's God telling him to do it. If he was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. This might be just an idea that's come into my head. Probably wouldn't have gone. God's told him to do it. Ananias does question once, I'll give him that. But then he gets up and goes. And I think I would question quite a few times. Like, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure this guy doesn't like you very much? He doesn't like any of your followers. He's actually come with a letter to put us all in prison. I mean, that would be bad, wouldn't it? But Ananias goes. And God is very specific. I love it. He tells them exactly where he is. He's in a guy named Judas's house, praying as we speak. And so Ananias goes, and this is the beautiful part, right? So Saul is against God. Saul hates all the people who follow Jesus. That's all Ananias knows of Saul. God tells him to go and see him. Ananias goes. He sees Saul praying to God. He puts his hand on his shoulder, and he calls him brother. Brother. I've looked in so many different translations, and every single one of them says, Ananias says, Saul, my brother. Brother Saul. All of them. Saul is accepted. Just like that. Because that's what God does when we've done things wrong, when we've made mistakes. God wipes it clear and accepts us. Saul has been called brother. Ananias prays for him. Saul's scales fall from his eyes. And he's able to get up and proclaim the name of Jesus. And he's able to proclaim the name of Jesus because he has the faith in Jesus to do it. Because sometimes it can be scary to stand up for what we believe in. Sometimes it can be scary. It can be embarrassing. You might not know what to say. But God tells us to step out in faith and speak up on his name. So this is what I really want to burn in your hearts right here, guys. That it's great that we know Jesus. What we have to do is go and share that with everyone else. Because God is coming. And it says in his word that he is coming soon. And don't we want our friends and family to know him when he comes? Paul did. That's why Paul just went out shouting about Jesus. And Paul went into a city proclaiming the name of Jesus, was saying, yes, this is God. Guys, believe. And lots of people got angry at Paul and beat him up and threw him out of the city. And you know what Paul did? He got up, he wiped off his clothes, and he walked back into the city. What a legend! There was nothing stopping him from spreading the word of God. And guys, there is nothing stopping us. Let's allow Jesus to burn in our hearts today so we can step out in faith and speak those words of truth to those around us. Because it's only by faith that we do those things. It's only by faith that every single person in this Bible was put in the Bible. Because Abraham had faith and so he went. Moses had faith, and so he led. Joshua had faith, and so he held the torch after Moses. And God said to Joshua, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that's what he says to each one of us. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So I don't know what's going on in your hearts today. I don't know what's going on in your lives today, guys. If there's anything that's troubling you, or you're worried about, or you're fearful of, God wants to deliver that completely because he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What can mere man do to me? And I want to confess something to you. Sometimes when ministry time is going on here and Kevin comes up and says, if anybody wants to come to the front and get healing or want to be prayed for, I'm sitting in that pew. I usually sit in there, in the second one. And I'm like, yeah, I actually want to go up. I want to go up and be prayed for. But I know that if I go up and I'm prayed for, I'm going to cry. Because there's stuff going on in my heart right now. But I can't be seen as someone who's crying. I'm meant to be the children's worker here. I'm meant to be fixed. I'm meant to know all the things. I'm meant to be good. I'm meant to be right. And then I've got to go and take the kids out while I'm blubbering. I don't think that's going to be that good. So I stay in my seat. I stay in my seat. And you know what? I heard Mike Pilavachi say that his church, their church doesn't do what he says. He does what he does, if you get what I mean. So his church follows him as the pastor, and they do not what he tells them to do, but they do what he does, if you get what I mean. So if I'm sitting here being afraid to come up to the front and being prayed for and getting healing for, those kids that I'm ministering to, do I want them to have that fear? Do I want them to be afraid of what other people think? Because what does it say in the Bible? It says, what can mere man do to me? We don't worry about what people think. We don't care. All we have to care about is what God thinks, what God wants for us in our lives, and what God wants for each one of us is for us to be completely and 100% set free. We may know Jesus. We may know him in our heart. We may have said that prayer and we may have accepted him. But we may still be holding on to a little bit of baggage that we can't let go of. We're like, it's okay, God. I love you. You're my Jesus. That's okay. But this stuff is just going to stay right here because I can't let go of it yet. But do you know what, guys? God's saying no. Today's the day. If you want to let go of this baggage, if you want to be completely set free, then at the end I want to ask you if you want to come and I'll pray with you. Because God doesn't want that for your life anymore. He wants you just to let the baggage go and not worry where it lands, so that we can walk freely with no restrictions. The memory verse for the holiday club is, without faith, no one can please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who truly want to seek him. Guys, our reward is that we get to be completely and 100% free. We don't have to be a slave to fear any longer. Just like the words that we were singing in that song. God sets us free. God cuts those chains. God allows us just to run. And in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily... I'm going to say this again, guys. I apologise. Right. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God's got a race for each one of you guys, and he wants you to run it without anything holding you back. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus did all of that when he died on the cross. He said, it is finished. You don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to fret anymore. You don't have to keep all the shame. Because Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. You are set free. And I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you set us free. I thank you that you take off all our shame. I thank you that you have a one up. Such an awesome plan for each one of our lives. And Lord God, I pray that you will help us to live it with our eyes fixated on you. Because when you are for us, who can be against us? In your heavenly name, amen. We're gonna stand and sing, guys. The worship team is gonna come up, and we're gonna praise that Holy One up in heaven.